Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah, we're breaking it down from the court to the field. Behind every stat, there's a truth revealed. From the draft day dreams to the final shot. From the locker room talks to the battle spot. Clutch moments caught under stadium lights. Every win, every loss, every high, every fight. Beyond the numbers, where the heart beats loud. Beyond the numbers, where the hustle gets crowned. Beyond the numbers, this is the story we chase. Welcome to the podcast, this is your space.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers, where we talk about what goes into the stats, but what goes into the beyond. As always, I am Ben, and this is Will.
Here.
And today, tonight, wherever you are, we are going to talk about sports. It's the best topic in the world.
I completely agree, sir.
It unites us all under one common cause. It doesn't matter if you're a fan of what sport you're a fan of. If you're a fan of sports, then, well, you're a fan just like me. So I think today we're going to start off a little bit with something we haven't really jumped into yet on the show. And I think it's high time we do, sir, and that is college football. Now, before we even go too far into this, I will preface, I am a University of Louisville fan. And you tell us, sir, who do you happen to be a fan of?
I think we all know that I'm a fan of Kentucky, sir.
Indeed we do. And I applaud you for being dedicated to them as a football fan. However, I know it's rough, but we will see each other in a few weeks on the field. Louisville and UK play to wrap up Louisville here. And I expect it to be a dominant showing. But, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. There's a few more important games, especially as the ACC is an incredibly complicated conference right now. So the ACC, very complicated conference. It's a very competitive conference this year. We see some really dominant teams go undefeated for a while, then take their first loss. We got some really competitive teams, even with a few losses under their belt, that are still making a bid for, you know, maybe even a playoff run, Louisville being one of them. Fortunately for Miami, they may or may not have fell out of that, but Virginia's still in the running. So Virginia and Louisville have a lot to get done. Louisville, by no stretch, has got an easy game coming up. They have California. It's going to be a tough game for us. Thankfully, we are at home. But moving on from the ACC entirely, because we have a few more weeks to go, and the ACC right now is the one of the conferences that is struggling to assert its dominance. So we go over to, of course, the Big 12. We got teams like BYU and Texas Tech who are pushing for it. BYU 8-0, Texas Tech 8-1, 7th and 8th ranked teams in the country right now. Ironically enough, BYU still continues to surprise me from time to time at different years. I don't know how, but they do. Shout out to them.
You know how. They play the most basic of football, and it's effective. That's what I like about BYU. It's the most basic of way that you can play football, but they play it very well.
The only other more basic might be, you know, if you look at like Army, like they run like triple wing. They don't really pass much. They really don't utilize a passing system. They run all the time. So it's not quite that low on the totem pole of basic or simplicity, but it is definitely.
I'm not saying that it's like lame. I'm saying that it's just simple. It's straight to the point football. And every time I've watched them, I've enjoyed it just because of its simplicity. They're making stuff happen that realistically high tech plays could be the exact same way, and it doesn't, you know. So
I agree.
Just an opinion.
Moving along from the Big 12, because at the end of the day, the Big 12 is not the powerhouse conference. Right now, and as tends to occur,
the Big Ten.
Now, I will say Ohio State, not a surprise. Sitting at 8-0, they're getting ready to go play Purdue. They're about to go 9-0. I don't doubt they're going to win this game in a resounding fashion. But
Indiana?
Number two in the nation, sir. Indiana. The Hoosiers.
That's a surprise for me. I don't know.
I thought there were going to be a bit of a fall off from last year. I thought that they would do good, but Spinetti's done really, really well with that team. And I'm just going to say this, that Indiana might be a competitive team to the point that they could give Ohio State a run for their money this year. However, I don't know that I entirely believe that Indiana is going to be able to get it done in the end. They got a good game going up against Penn State on Saturday. I think the thing of it is while Penn State's record doesn't look good, and their hopes of anything is pretty much gone, at least for this year, Indiana still got to go up against them, and they're a tough team. And they're one of those teams who likes to, even if they ain't going anywhere, they like to take teams and they like to hurt them. And they like to fight them. So Penn State's going to give them a run for their money. And if Indiana drops this game, I think we might be looking at one of those teams where it's like, all right, we might have seen that run come to an end, that little moment. But I might be wrong.
I'm not going to lie to you, sir. I don't like the fact that you skipped over the SEC in this one. The SEC has some dogs in it, all right?
Well, we're going to get to the SEC. Don't worry. The SEC is next on my list. But the reason I wanted to talk about the Big Ten was because we're talking about the conference that is the home to the reigning champion. We're talking about, right now, a conference that has almost half – about a quarter of the top 25 teams in their conference. Because we're not done. When we talk about Ohio State and Indiana, that's great. You can't forget Oregon sitting in ninth. You got USC at 19. You've got Iowa at 20. You've got Washington at 23. And these are all teams that, yeah, they're sitting at one or two losses, but they're very competitive. And they're in that stretch of the year where, like Oregon, for example, this could still be their year. It's not over. But I, by no means have I glazed intentionally or disrespectfully the SEC. In fact, the SEC is probably one of my favorite ones to look at and talk about. But I saved them for last.
Yeah, it holds one of my favorite teams.
Absolutely. So. And you know what? As you should at this point, considering you're a Kentucky fan, I'm gonna let you run the SEC, sir. Tell us about it. What's your thoughts and feelings?
Well, first off, as a Kentucky fan, of course you look for it to happen, but you know it's not going to at this point. So when I look at the SEC, my favorite team actually is Ole Miss.
Really?
Ole Miss, and it's, yeah, I know, right?
They're doing good.
I know it's a strange pick for a lot of people, but Ole Miss on both sides, college basketball and college football, they like to show out in phenomenal ways. And, you know, it may not work for them all the time, but as we both know, I like to take my, I love my underdogs. I love my ones that are good, that nobody looks to do anything.
Okay.
And now I'm not saying that people are underwriting Ole Miss right now. They're sitting at number four for a reason in the division.
I mean, to be fair, they lost in what, week four, week five, something like that. I'm sorry, it's a little later in the year than that. They lost to Georgia, though. Like, that was not no light game. And they were not no lightweight soon either. They only lost by 8 points, 43-35. They were on the road. So, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is a very competitive team. In fact, for the first half of the season, I think a lot of people were leaning towards them being potentially, and they still could be, a championship contender.
I definitely agree. That's why Ole Miss is always on my, you know, be on the lookout list. Also, if we're going to go into the SEC, we got to talk about Georgia, of course. We got to talk about Bama.
Of course.
Even though Bama, to me, Bama hasn't looked the same as they did last year.
You're right.
But neither did Georgia.
No.
Georgia doesn't look the same either. But either way, they're still dogs of a team, and you can't underwrite them.
Well, so there's something else here, too, when you talk about those teams. And you're right. We should definitely talk about them. But who would have thought that Georgia and Alabama both would have one loss and Texas A&M would be undefeated?
I can say that I saw that.
How so?
Just because I'll once again, going into this year, I really went for the teams that I liked last year to watch, because I don't like college sports. Once again, and most of y'all know the reason that I like sports as much as I do and I'm so into it is because I bet on them, and I don't like betting on children. Yes, you may. These are grown men. They go out there and play grown man ball. Yeah, them boys got essays due in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So putting all that pressure on them, plus going out there and getting the dub or getting a certain amount of yardage, as it may happen, they got better stuff to do. So with that being said,
if you want to talk betting lines, I mean, I'm intrigued by that. Just want to throw this out here per ESPN. Your over-under is 49.5 on that Texas A&M at Missouri. Texas A&M, of course, is favored at 7.5. I'm just saying.
I was about to say, this Texas A&M team has a fight in them that they had last year. They had that last year. It just, once again, certain teams got more fight, more heart, more dedication to it, and they're going to take over. It just happens like that. But they had that same fight last year. Like I said, Alabama and Georgia don't have that same dog in them. Not saying that their record isn't impressive. They don't have the same dog in them over the last couple of years that I had seen. Texas A&M is still fighting, man, and that's exactly how it's supposed to be. If you're in college and you're playing sports, once again, I don't like betting on you, but we love to see you doing numbers.
I mean, I'm with you. Talking about the SEC, there's a couple of big games this weekend. One of them, of course, is Texas A&M going up against Missouri. You know, this definitely feels like a bit of a trap game, because Missouri is not a slouch this year. Yeah, they had 6-2, you know, but you can't, they're still fighting for something. You know, they're fighting for themselves a nice little bowl game. So I just don't want to – I think that Texas A&M is one of the teams that has a lot to lose this year. And in this week, it could be their downfall.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're smart, sir. Those plus 200 odds on sportsbooks are always something to look at with a little grain of salt. And this game right here, Missouri has a lot of fight in them this year, too.
Yep. You know, another team dropped
some games, but yeah.
I mean, Vanderbilt. I mean, really, when it comes down to it right now, the SEC and the Big Ten are dominant, which, to be clear,
Vanderbilt was scary last year, too, sir.
Who?
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
They were scary last year, too.
They were scary last year, and they're scary this year. Yeah. You know, 7-2. It's not a bad record, especially for Vandy, who has had many a rough year when it comes to football. But I do want to wrap up the SEC here quickly with your team, your boys, hosting the Gators. It's usually a pretty competitive game. Now, granted, both teams are sitting 3-5 on the year, so my idea of competitive for this game is maybe a little more of a they're just looking to hurt each other. They ain't got much else on the line. So you know, might be a good scouting game for a few of these guys that are coming out to watch. You know, host a few players that might commit. You know, but
my Wildcats will get it together. Even
who do you got? Who do you got in this team? Both are sitting at 3-5. ESPN's got the total at 44.5 with Florida's spread at 3.5. So who do you got? Because honestly, I'm gonna be real. I think Kentucky takes this.
I could agree with you on a fan level. Kentucky shouldn't drop this game. But I think it'll be a close one. I think this is gonna come down to whose defense holds up the best.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get away after that one, but I do have another quick thing. Did you foresee LSU having the fall off that they've had? Did you foresee Nussmeier having the mediocrity of the year that he's had? Did you see this coming? And when we were looking at Alabama and LSU playing each other here, you know, 5-3 Tigers and a 7-1 Crimson Tides, it's not the game I anticipated, if I'm being entirely honest, considering who all LSU's dropped games to. You know, they lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Vandy. They lost to Texas A&M. Out of their last five, they've won two. You know, they beat South Carolina, and then they beat I'm not even sure who that team was. Looking back at it, I have to go back and look. But they've struggled a little bit. And
I think a little bit is a bit of an understatement, but –
Well, yeah. I mean, Bama ain't exactly won a lot of great games, but they've won their games.
Yeah, I'm saying, but they're saying that they're struggling is a bit of an understatement. That's it. There's some. Sometimes you just got to be a fly on the wall inside of some locker rooms and some plays, watching some plays get created, because there's. I didn't like LSU last year, if I'm being honest.
It's fair.
May have been decent play, but it wasn't spectacular. So, if we're being honest, I don't want to guess what's going on with LSU. I just want them to get it together. LSU has always been like a prominent football team.
Well, of course. But, it's been the Tigers for years. I mean, Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
Joe Burrow is an iconic example of the LSU dominance.
I just need them to get it together at this point. I mean, I don't want to speculate on how they could get it together. It's just, let's let them get it together. I'm not saying that their record's like horrible. It's just not what I would expect LSU to be up here with Texas A&M, or at least, you know, fighting with them.
I think the problem is,
as it goes, they deserve that whooping that they got.
Well, I think the problem for LSU, when you look at the breakdown, because the LSU-Alabama game, it should be a much more like competitive game. There should be a lot more on the line for both teams because, frankly, you know, the LSU Tigers are 5-3. The problem is all three of their losses were SEC games. So, to be clear, their shot of doing anything in the SEC this year is gone. So the most they're going to do is hurt Alabama, give them an SEC loss, and that's going to be that. But when you look at them as a team, you're talking about they're ranked 84th offensively in the nation, LSU is, in points per game, 25.5. So, you know, when I look at that and I look at taking any overs, like, you know, that's still not a horrible number, but, like, then you look at, like, Alabama. Alabama, they're ranked 30th is 34.4 points per game, you know. So, like, when I look at the over, I'm going to take the over on this game because I think it's going to be a great game. Both defenses are good. That's the problem for LSU is their defense is great, but their offense is just abysmal. in yards per game, they're ranked 95th in the nation, whereas Alabama on defense is ranked 24th. So, you know, now, let's be clear, Alabama's only ranked 50th in yards per game. So, there's some flex, there's some give, because LSU's defense is ranked 35th. And the defenses on both of these teams are going to be fun. But I think that it will be a pretty solid offensive performance, especially from Bama. But, like, I will say I did not anticipate. I seen Nussmeier having some problems early. I felt like they were going to drop one or two. But to say that they were going to go 2-3 in the SEC and then they're going to go up against Bama, I did not see that coming. And unfortunately for them, their season is pretty much over. And it'll be on to repairing the damage and getting into next year. So, I mean, there's really not a lot else to talk about when it comes to college football. I mean, obviously, there are other conferences, lots of them, in fact, but none of them that are really necessarily doing any damage. And, of course, in the world of college football and the playoffs coming and everything like that. So I digress at this point and say shout out to every other one that's in the the NCAA that are their different divisions and those little small conferences, you know, let them have their fun. I'm all for it. But, yeah, go Cardinals, and I look forward to beating whoever it is we play in the championship this year. And I don't know about you, sir. I feel it's time for a slight shift. I think we should get back into what is vibe. I say it's definitely one of my favorite sports, but it isn't my top sport, but I know it is one of your favorites for sure, and that is basketball. So I'm going to let you go off on this because I know you have some thoughts and feelings on some stuff, so I'm going to let you do your thing real quick.
Yes, sir. Getting into the NBA, it has been a wild ride, to say the least. Right now, we got some games going on, but if we are to look over the past few nights, like, say, last night, the Bucks lost to the Raptors, sir.
Mm.
Like, the Thunder destroyed the Clippers in an epic fashion. Again, like, I don't know who's actually going to be able to beat the Thunder this year. That's actually the question.
It ain't going to be the Trailblazers tonight, I can tell you that.
Well, of course, that's not going to happen. So when we're looking at the Thunder's record and who they have to face coming up, I mean, let's see. They got the Trailblazers tonight. Then they got the Kings, who are sitting at 2-5. Then they got the Grizzlies, who are sitting at 3-5. Then they got the Warriors, who may be a little bit more of a challenge, but they're sitting at 5-3 for a reason. Who's going to stop that Shai Gilgeous? Who's going to stop him from getting free throws? That's actually who wins the game. Who's going to keep that man off the line? Who's going to keep that man from scoring? And then who's going to keep him from getting the assist after y'all done put three people on him? Like, this is the Thunder are a complete problem, sir. It's why I completely backed them last year. You really thought they were going to beat the Pacers were going to beat them for some odd reason. But
stand on that. It definitely would have went the other way if Halliburton hadn't got hurt.
Yeah.
I'll give you this. They are the only undefeated team in the league right now. Now, here is my thing. When you have a team who, and this is one of the things that baseball might be one of the few sports where this isn't necessarily a problem. But when you have a team who is sitting in a position of dominance in a league where there are physical aspects of a game, you tend to find that over time, these guys start coming for blood, you know? Because here's the thing, you know, Thunder took the win last year. Yeah, it took them 7 games to get there. It took them 7 against Denver, you know. There was the smell of blood in the water a little bit, but this year, there is blood in the water, for sure. And, yeah, I hate to say it, but the Pacers may or may not be, I mean, let's just be clear. They're not competitive right now, as much as I would like to say what they could.
I was about to say, sir, right now they are competing, actually competing with the Brooklyn Nets. Well, come on now.
A lot of teams are sitting at the bottom right now. Let's not sugarcoat. They're not the only team that's doing that. You know, my team isn't. Well, you're picking, you've got the Thunder. But at the end of the day,
The Celtics are terrible. And I also back the Thunder at all times. But the Celtics are doing what the Celtics need to do. However they started is not how they're going to finish. That's the beauty part about the Celtics.
And I don't know that I agree with you on it this year. You said earlier.
I don't play favorites when it comes to the NBA. Ever since Kobe left the Lakers, I don't have a favorite team. So I back whoever I think is the best, whoever I think is more complete. And before the Thunder got on their little run last year and before everybody started piping up the Thunder, I was saying that they had the most elite team.
I mean,
we can check back on the tapes. So that's why I back the Thunder at all times.
You know, if I'm not going to pick the Pacers, I still am going to go with the Bucks. The Bucks are a scary team. They're scary. They're competitive. As a team, it's going to be.
I disagree.
They're going to be a problem this year, sir. It's just a matter of.
I don't think they're going to be that big of a problem.
I don't know. I think you're wrong. But.
Stop Giannis, you stop the team, sir.
Well, it isn't just
Giannis, especially since he lost Dame.
Losing Dame was problematic, but at the end of the day, look what happened to the Thunder and almost dropping it to Denver, and they were going up against Jokic. I'd rather have to go up against Jokic than I would Giannis.
Because stopping Jokic from scoring is not the problem. You got to stop him from doing everything else. You can't compare the Bucks to the Nuggets. You can't compare Giannis to Jokic, pretty much, because Giannis doesn't do everything. Jokic does everything. If you don't stop him from scoring, he's gonna drop 40. And if you stop him from scoring, he's gonna have a triple double regardless, because he'll at least get 15 points and he'll at least get 10 assists and 16 rebounds. So there's no comparison there. The Nuggets have a way better chance of doing something this year than the Bucks ever will.
We'll see. What's your thought on the Spurs right now? They're doing pretty good.
I love Wimby. And the fact that he's such a threat makes everybody else just as good around him. This is why they're doing pretty well this year. Everybody else around him, I think that the Spurs actually have a squad for the most part. Maybe not a championship squad right now, but I do think that they have a squad.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm going to be watching them a lot this year. I think that, they're
going to. I think everybody should.
They're going to be.
Wimby.
Wimby, of course, but, is the main player, but you can't leave out Castle. You can't leave out Vassell. I mean,
I was about to say the problem is just like Giannis, once you stop Wimby, you stopped the biggest threat.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's just the case.
I mean, that's kind of a given, though. Like, honestly,
not a given because nobody else has been able to do it. They took that loss to the Suns because they stopped Wimby. They stopped Wimby from scoring. And, yes, Castle still dropped 26 in that game, but
What I'm saying is when you take the star out of the equation and a team that is built around a star, you take away the ability for that team to dominate. Typically, not saying that sometimes it doesn't happen if somebody else don't step up. But you take Wimby out, you take out, just like if you take Giannis out, if you take, let's say you take out Steph, let's say you take out Jokic, let's say you take out And let's say you take out any of these guys, right? It's most
you can't say that about Ant. The Timberwolves are still do the exact same thing without
I
Ant.
Don't
they just won't dominate. The domination is the effect, but they'll still pull that win out.
Depends on who they're going up
against. I was with you until you said the Timberwolves.
Well,
the Timberwolves can still pull that win out without
Ant.
They're just not going to dominate the team without him.
Well, but the problem with what you're saying is it's not entirely true because the Timberwolves, and mind you, I was one of the ones saying the Timberwolves how I felt like had a good chance of doing it. Timberwolves didn't win a championship last year. They didn't even make the championship round, sir. They took Ant out of the equation, and then the Timberwolves couldn't do it. Now,
I disagree. I don't think Ant was the factor in that.
Okay.
Because the whole team was off last year. Ant was just the only one shining. So once you took out Ant, that's what the problem became. But the problem, the whole team's problems shined once Ant came out of the game.
That's what
I see. What I'm saying?
But
that was last year, though. This year, everybody's performing the way that they're supposed to. So yeah, I think they can do it.
I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily. What I'm saying is, like, you take these guys out of the equation. Not every game is going to be a loss, but you are going to see a less dominant, less successful team, right? But the Celtics, 2 years ago, when they got their win, right, they had a team where you took out one, two, maybe even three of their stars. They still have guys ready. Last year, the Thunder, you didn't just have one guy. It wasn't just Shai Gilgeous. You know, they have a team that is built not just for one star, but two or three. Now, I will say there's a caveat. You look at a team like the Lakers, and you see what can go really wrong when you have too many of the big stars where there's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, essentially. That is what happened with LA. But most of these other teams, you got several stars or you got one. And when you have a one-star team where everybody else is a role player and you take the star out, the role players start having a problem playing their role because that role is no longer straightforward. So that's all my point is. Look at the Rockets. You know, they're having themselves a little tear right now early on in the year, and they're currently, at the end of the first quarter, up 34-22 on Memphis. I'm not saying that's necessarily the most special thing in the world because Memphis is not doing well this year to start off. But again, the Rockets, they are a well-rounded team with a couple of stars, and the rest of the team is role players. You take out one of their guys, you're probably not going to lose many more games because of it. Get more guys who can step up. But when you have a team that relies on that guy to get the job done, you start running into problems. Miami found that out when they found themselves having to lean on Jimmy Butler, and then Jimmy Butler gets hurt. They found that when they were relying on Hero to get some work done, and he couldn't keep up, or he was hurt, or he had to miss a game here and there, they couldn't hold it together. This is, you know, the Dwayne Wade without LeBron. Whenever Dwayne Wade gets hurt, the Heat fell apart. Yeah, so it's not saying that they're going to lose every single game, sir, but I don't agree with you entirely that what you said, you take that star out of the equation, not everybody's going to step up in every single game. And not every single
game. I'm saying last year when they took Ant out of that equation, the team was already struggling. Ant was just the only one that wasn't. So once he came out of that equation, you just saw the actual faults because Ant was actually carrying the team on his back. This year, Ant hasn't actually been playing. And you see who's actually showing up. DiVincenzo had a night last night, sir. Like, he was going crazy. And then you had Julius Randle doing the exact same thing.
I like him, by the way.
You had yes, you gotta love Julius Randle. He actually plays his part very well, even if it's not the score. He had the triple double that night.
Yep.
And let me be clear, irritated me to no end because I had him for 20 plus points. That man had 19.
Yeah.
Woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
But he pulled out that trip dub. Right now he's sitting at 18 at halftime, sir. Okay. You have the team. You have a team right now that can actually function without the star. So I just have to. It's not saying that you're wrong, but I think that the Timberwolves actually have something way more this year.
I'm not saying that they don't, and I think it's still early. So a lot of this success outside of maybe the Thunder, and outside of the Thunder, really, there's no other team that I'm going to sit here and say, "Oh, their early success is anything exceptional." So at the moment, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I say let's give it about 10, 15 more games into the year, and then we'll start to see how true that is. Because, you know, yeah, your Wizards, your Nets, your Pacers, the Mavs, you know, you look at them guys, the Kings even, it's like, all right, you know, there's a chance they could do something, but, you know, it already starting to turn maybe a little bit too little too late if they ain't careful. They drop another 8, 9, 10 games here over the next 10 or 15 games. And you might want to start thinking about calling it a wrap on the year. Because, yes, teams could turn around, but this is a much different league. And I know we talked about it before. It's a high-scoring league. We talked about why it's a high-scoring league. And at the end of the day, if you're a team that's losing and you ain't able to keep up as it is, you're not going to win the key games. You're just not. So as much as I'm a fan of the Pacers, I ain't liking the looks of where they're headed in the next 10 to 15 games. If they can turn this around, I'm pretty confident that they're going to have to start wondering how their season's going to play out. And, you know, dropping 20 to 25 games, you can still go to the championship if you do it right. But at that point, you're putting yourself in a pretty nasty spot, and you're just hoping that the rest of your conference and the rest of the league is terrible. So this is a keep up or get out.
Well, you know, I know we said that the Trailblazers aren't going to take on the Thunder, but the Trailblazers haven't been slouches this season either.
Would you say that this might be the trap game? Honestly, if I'm looking at the trap game for the Thunder, I kind of, and I might be wrong, but I think they're going to win this one. I think they're going to win their next one against the Kings. And, of course, they got themselves a couple of games off here over the next couple of days. But when I look at it, I think their next really concerning game is probably going to be on the 9th. Whenever they play on Sunday, they play the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies might be more kind of problematic for them than the Trailblazers will be tonight. I think the Thunder are on a tear. I don't think they're going to slow down yet. But they got a couple off games or off nights coming. They're going to catch their breath.
Go ahead, sir.
They're going to catch their breath. And the problem is when you start having a couple of nights where you ain't playing, you know, 2, 3, 4 nights like that, it's when you get rested that you tend to come back and make the mistakes.
Yeah, I can agree. But I'll also say that the Grizzlies will not – the Grizzlies don't have what it takes to actually be successful yet. I don't want to down talk them, but I'll also say that they are definitely not the team.
Well, of course.
And you have to be the team to beat the Thunder, because they are the team. They are exactly what you think of when you're thinking about, okay, who's the most well-rounded? Who can get stuff done? Who can get to the free throw line when they need to? Who can make those threes when they need to? Who's the most unlikely player that we could put out there to start getting buckets? Because that's what they start thinking of. And that's exactly what starts happening. So when we're talking about the Grizzlies haven't done anything special this year.
They haven't, but they're due.
It's only 8 games, but they haven't done anything special this year. And let's be clear, they've dropped some silly games. And it was all off of rookie mistakes.
I don't necessarily disagree to a point.
They're talented. It's just not – they just don't have it. They just don't have what it takes to be successful yet. So – going up against a team like the Thunder is not going to look good on the Grizzlies.
I don't know. I think that's a trap game. You know, they're not a top 10 in any category really outside of assists per game. They do tend to throw the ball around a lot. That's one good thing about them. They're not stingy. But when I look at the Grizzlies, I don't know. I just see a little something there. Maybe it's just me. But I just see something there that makes me think, you know, this is a team that they might have something. It's just it's gonna take them getting something just right, and it's gonna take it's gonna take some work, you know, and of course you just can't take out of consideration. You know, they're in the Southwest. It's tough over there. They got the Rockets, they got the Mavs, they got the Spurs. I won't worry too much about the Pelicans this year, but just when I look at them, I look at a team that they got a lot of work ahead of them. There's something about them.
The Pelicans lost Brandon Ingram. You definitely have nothing to talk about anymore. Zion, even though he is a factor, he can't do everything. He's proven that very much so throughout this time, but he's not supposed to. He's a power forward. Like, he's a power forward that can play center. That's who he is. So when it comes to a team around him, you need a squad. Brandon Ingram was that. He had a nice little jump shot to him, and he's making a definite difference on the Raptors. The Raptors have a nice shot this year. But when you're thinking about the Pelicans, who else do you think about except for Zion?
I don't disagree.
I mean, Trey Murphy, he does okay.
Well,
but other than that, we don't have anything to talk about. Nah. And that's why the Pelicans' record looks exactly the way it looks right now.
Well, you know, again, when we're talking about the Grizzlies, I don't think it's quite the same. You know, you got Ja Morant. You can't obviously forget him. You got Jaren Jackson. Jalen Wells is doing all right. Lindell's doing all right. I mean, Caldwell Pope's doing all right. Vince Williams, Aldama. Coward, Spencer. I mean, these guys are doing okay. They're not doing great, but this is a team that has some key pieces. They can do something. They're just going to have to get it together offensively, and they're going to have to figure out what they need to do to, I won't say turn it around, because, again, I don't think this is a team that's got necessarily everything to turn around. I think they just need to get it together, and they're going to change the trajectory that they're on this year.
I can agree, sir. Moving on, I also wanted to get into the fact that this one's a little bit difficult for me because, as I said, I was a former Laker fan at one point, and LeBron ruined that for me, of course. But the Lakers.
What about them?
When the Lakers have their pieces, they're actually elite. Ooh. They just consistently, I don't know what it is, like maybe Luka won't play, or maybe Reeves won't play, or maybe Ayton won't be in there. Like, I don't know what it is, but these players are missing games, and it makes a difference. Now, they had a nice game on Monday against the Trailblazers, and they definitely pulled that out, and that was without their two stars. They're just such a weird team to me.
You talk about Braun and Doncic.
And Reeves. Reeves didn't play Reeves didn't play either. So they did it without any of their stars, really. It was a nice outing, but they're just such a weird team because they're not actually supposed to be able to do that.
You know, but not just them guys. I mean, Hachimura does a lot of work.
I'm not saying that they don't do a lot of work. I'm saying that they don't do enough work.
I mean, Hachi's averaging 17 points a game. I mean, Laravia's getting 13 almost. I mean, DeAndre Ayton's getting almost 17. You're not even talking about your stars. I mean, tonight, you're projecting.
So when we're looking at it, yes, they took those games, right?
Uh-huh.
They also lost to the Trailblazers on the 27th, I believe.
Okay.
And that, yeah, that was that game that Reeves put up 40.
Uh-huh.
And they, that, so this is what I'm saying by they're a weird team, because when they have all their backups in and they, none of their, at least one of their stars didn't play, they took the win in an impressive game. But Reeves drops 40. Hachimura drops 16. Ayton drops 16. And they don't take it. They actually lose 122 to 108. This is a, that is a weird team, sir. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, I think, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, you're talking about this game in general is going to be a big one. And I think, you know, we're going to find out how true what you're saying may or may not be. But I mean, really all they have to do, you know, when it comes down to it, is they have to control Wemby. Wemby has to manage to get and keep up. He has to keep up with Luka. I mean, at the end of the day, Luka is the main guy, right? I think that when we look at the last five games for the Spurs, the only game they've lost was to the Suns. Okay, they beat Miami, they beat Toronto, and they did that really well. They beat Brooklyn, and they beat the Pelicans. So, you know, they've won four of their last five. The Lakers, they beat the Trailblazers, they beat the Heat, they beat the Grizzlies, they beat the Timberwolves, and they lost to the Trailblazers. Not exactly anything elaborate or special or fancy to look at here, four or five for both teams. I think you're talking about a totally different style of sport, or two different styles of teams. And the last time that they played each other was March 17th. Well, I was just looking here at this between the Lakers and the Spurs. Last time this game, points leaders, Austin Reeves. They don't have him. Jackson Hayes was the rebounding leader for the Lakers. Of course, Luka was the assist leader. They'll have Luka out there. But, you know, they were going up against Castle, Vassell, Chris Paul. I just, when I look at this team, we look at the projected starters for the Spurs. Castle, Vassell, Barnes, Shempagne, I think it is, and then Wemby. You know, going up against Smart, Doncic, Hachimura, Moravia, and Ayton. I don't see the Spurs taking this. And at the end of the day, you're going to talk about, they're going to take this without a lot of struggle. I think they're actually going to do really well tonight, and I think they're going to wind up beating the Spurs. And they do it well regardless, because their role players do their job.
Well, that's all I have for the NBA, sir. We need to get into this Thursday night football game just a little bit. We only have about 5-10 more minutes left in this episode.
Absolutely.
We got the Raiders and the Broncos.
All right,
sir.
Fire play football. I'm just kidding.
This is going to be an actual game. I like this. I think the Raiders are starting to find their footing. I think they finally have unlocked somebody that they've been needing to unlock this entire time. Brock Bowers is going to be a dog this year, sir.
Well,
last game, he had 3 tutties, over 100 yards receiving. He was going bonkers.
Let's be honest, though. That ain't enough to get the win. We're talking about a very, very, very potent offense that I would have...
I think this is going to be a game.
I do not. The defense, we're talking about... okay, let's start off with that the Broncos are now currently the leading defensive team in sacks. They have 40 on the year, sir. That is actually a rather scary number for any team that's going up against them.
The Broncos can definitely be scored upon, though.
They sure can, and they are the master of the fourth quarter comeback. So,
I'm not saying anything about the win. I don't know who's going to win this game. It should be the Broncos. I definitely agree. But if we've seen anything this season, especially going into week, what is this, 10?
Indeed.
Week 10? we know that these underdogs have just been fighting. And I'm not saying that the Raiders have a shot this year. I'm not saying that they're going to find something within them to pull it all together. I'm just saying that when it comes to the Broncos, they can definitely be scored upon. And I think the Raiders are going to find a way to do that once again. Look at the Jets. You saw the Jets game, right?
I did.
That game was pathetic. On both sides of the ball. It wasn't just the Jets that were horrible in that game. It was also the Broncos. Now, when we're looking at the trajectory of the Jets and the Raiders, I don't think there's a comparison, but you can make an argument for one. So, with that being said, if the Broncos struggled against the Jets, I don't care what they did up against other teams. They could struggle up against the Raiders. It could definitely happen. So, we could either get into a defensive matchup.
Well,
or we can get into a scoring matchup.
Let's be clear.
Which one sounds less likely?
Honestly, neither for the Raiders, because they're not going to win an offensive matchup and they're not going to win a defensive matchup. Let's be clear. The Raiders are not in a position to, in my opinion, they're not in a position to win this game. The Broncos are poised to have a phenomenal year at this point, and losing a game to the Raiders, it just doesn't make sense. If you're the Broncos coming out, you know you're at home, you're going up against a very, very, I don't want to say a weak team, but a team that you know you can beat, but you've got a game plan for it. You can't come in here and think, all right, we're going to take this by storm. You know, the Raiders don't have anything to lose at this point on the year. You know, a couple more losses and it's a wrap. I mean, it's pretty much a wrap now, for being honest. But the Broncos have shown that they're intelligent. They understand that there are certain weaknesses that they have. The running game has done well, but they are not, in my opinion, even though statistically they are they're fourth in the league in rushing yards per game. They are an elite rushing team, but yet, like, that's one of those type of teams that you're like, all it's going to take is like one or two bad games and all of that changes. So the Broncos are kind of one of those teams that are poised for greatness, but they're kind of on the edge. Every game they're always on the edge, so they come out and they play like it. Every game they play like they're on the edge and they make it look good. And I just don't see this being a close game. I mean, honestly, in points per game, the Raiders are ranked 30th because it's 16-5 because they're not a scoring team.
I'll take me being wrong on it, but I could see this going the complete opposite direction of what people think it's going to do.
It could.
And when you're looking at odds and you're looking at history and you're looking at the things that I look at when I'm placing a bet or when I'm looking at a team for who, excuse me, when I'm looking at a team for what they've shown me.
Okay.
One game could cause enough momentum to spark another one. Now that momentum could slow down in that third game, but the likelihood that it keeps going in that second game is way higher than it doesn't. So I'm going to take my Raiders for this one, all right? You got the Broncos, I got the Raiders. When we come back for our next episode.
Hold on. We aren't going to sit here and pretend like Monday night didn't happen, are we? We're not going to sit here and pretend like that game didn't go that way and that the Cardinals are now putting Kyler Murray on IR and sticking with Jacoby Brissett. We're not going to pretend that DeMicardo had himself a little game against the Dallas defense. We're not going to pretend that Jacoby Brissett didn't spend half of his time getting sacked and yet could throw like he was a machine. We're not going to pretend that Dak Prescott looked like a high school quarterback. We're not going to pretend that CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens just couldn't get anything done or that Ferguson fumbled. Or that, for that matter, the Cardinals' defense looked elite.
Sir, the Cowboys. I've been complaining about the Cowboys this whole time. Don't act like I haven't.
But are we going to pretend like it didn't happen? Because let's be honest, I don't think any of us thought that this game was going to go the way that it did.
When I said that the Cowboys should pull this out and I still got faith in the Cowboys, I also preferenced it with they have been so disappointing, you really can't count on them for anything.
You're right.
Anything.
You're right.
So I said both, sir. So I'll acknowledge that it happened, but I'll also acknowledge that, it happened.
Let me ask you a question. And I want to end my part of this on this. Is the Cowboys' hopes for this season over?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
They're going to end up getting cooked by somebody that's all gas. And he has none. And they have none. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way for them not to get cooked by these teams that are putting full pedal to the metal while they're playing slow ball.
Okay.
We're no longer in week 1, 2, 3, or 4. We are in week 10. And they are still losing.
I agree. Cowboys are cooked. Cardinals are still not going to have themselves a ball of the year, in my opinion. But they beat the Cowboys, and honestly, that's their Super Bowl. So, shout out to them.
It works for me, sir.
All right, guys. You got anything else, Will?
I do not, sir.
All right. Well, I do want to, before we end here, I would like to, again, I know I made a little reference to Aspire earlier. I'd like to aspire to intrigue your brain a little bit. Everybody get the thingy caps on, get a little brain itch going. I've been drinking these now for a little bit, and I can tell you this. I don't know about you, Will. I know you like your energy drinks. You like your Red Bull. You still drink your Red Bull all the time?
Yes, I do, sir.
Yes, you do. Thankfully. And I still drink my Monsters. But I'm going to tell you this. After switching to it, I ain't gonna lie, that 80 milligrams of caffeine hits better than 160 I get in a can of Monster. That's all I'm gonna say about it. But at the end of the day, y'all, check it out. Check the link on our page. Put in the code BEYOND, BEYOND. Get yourself 20% off. Helps us out a little bit. The commission goes towards the furthering of this show because we both work full time. And at the end of the day, this ain't what pays our bills, but it sure is fun. And we wanna make it bigger and better for y'all. So, if you don't got anything else, Will, I don't have anything else other than go Packers. So.
And I'll say that the Packers suck. Good night, y'all. Peace.